This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Still better than what Jason Lockenfora reported yesterday.
Well, that's crazy, too.
By the way, it's crazy. We'll act like adults in about 15 minutes when Will Z joins us.
Button up.
Maybe. I don't know.
Don't forget, we got to ask James about the picture.
The Anti-Kings documentary.
Oh, yeah. James punk ass was dancing all around that text thread
the
yesterday.
The Game 4 propaganda documentary?
No. Tell us more. Ladies and gentlemen, James Hamm right here.
Okay, Lake Show.
Yeah, that's James Hamm. Y'all thought it was Kenny all these years. It's James Hamm.
Yeah, man, and Tony Berserk.
Berserk. Jason Lockenfora reported that the 49ers and Brock Purdy have begun contract negotiations, and according to Jason Lockenfora, who's a very good reporter, by the way, said the 49ers' initial offer was $45 million per year. I get this. I understand how the game works. I understand how you play this. Mm-hmm. This is stupid. That is ridiculous. They couldn't have even thought for a heartbeat that Brock Purdy's people would accept that offer. That, to me, isn't even a good faith starting point.
What if you're offering 45 with the thought, yeah, we'll meet at 50 or 51? Like, could this be just, this tells us what they value Brock Purdy as?
Yeah, I mean, again, I guess this is how the game is played, but this is dumb to me.
I've never, like, bought into the fact, like, Brock Purdy's going to be, like, the next highest paid guy. He's going to be above.
No, I get it. I get it. You don't think he gets to 60.
And I'm, well, even 55. Like, I thought 55, even reaching Joe Burrow, that was much. Like, I think at most, like, Tua and Lawrence are, like, 53, 54.
It's not how it works, though, to me. Like,
but
to me,
that's the thing, though. He's not one of the best quarterbacks. Like, he's not a top-tier guy.
He's better than Trevor Lawrence.
That's the killer.
Trevor Lawrence's contract is the number right now. You said 53?
He's around there, like, 53.
53 to 54. Like, that, to me, that automatically puts you at 55.
But I guess I'm going
to regardless of where Joe Burrow is, Joe Burrow needs a better agent then.
Yeah. And
I'm not going to suffer because Joe Burrow got a,
why not just turn it around
a
and
bad
say,
contract.
Dak is getting 60 then at that point.
Again, not my fault.
Well, here's the problem. If I'm Brock Purdy's people, they're off the top of my head right now. That's so four. There's four guys that have no business being up there. That if I'm Brock Purdy's agent,
you got Dak.
He's
is
better
one,
than him. No, I'm not even saying Dak.
Okay, Trevor Lawrence.
We're talking Trevor.
Yep.
Jordan Love.
Yep.
And Tua.
What's Jordan?
Jordan is 55.
What's Tua?
53.
This isn't even a conversation.
Bro, I'm better than
that. This isn't even a conversation.
You talk about Joe Burrow. Talking about as a franchise. You talking about Joe? I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about Jordan Love, Trevor, and Tua. I'm better than those guys.
You're the same tier quarterback, brother.
And it's my time tier. To get paid, so I should get more. Yeah, I should get at least that
well,
or
Joe's
more.
55, so we'll give you 53 or whatever like the other guys.
Don't talk to me about Jordan.
No,
talk to me about Tua.
No, Joe.
I need more than
I'm telling you, they offered him 45 because that clearly shows us what they value him at.
No, it's because they're idiots. That was my whole point in this. This organization, when it comes to negotiating contracts with their players, is bad at it. I don't know who is in charge of it. I don't think it's Kyle.
Parag.
Then your boy Parag is bad. He is the Farhan of the San Francisco 49ers. This is a bad look. I don't know why there is a rule that you just can't sit down with your boss or your Parag or whoever and go, this is the amount of money I want. This is what I deserve. To me, this is easy. This is easy work. If you're Brock Purdy's agent, you fight for as much as you can. So the idea is you let them start wherever they want to start. Now Brock's agent has got to come back with 60 because he's better than Dak Prescott. And we got to do this stupid dance. Look, this is where we're at. Dak Prescott's contract is clearly an anomaly in contract rankings, in contracts period. It's an anomaly. That was just restructured, by the way, today. Go ahead.
What am I giving Brock Purdy 55 for if the team didn't make the playoffs this year?
Because there's a bunch of other teams that didn't make the playoffs that got 55. But
you can get by with Sam Darnold as your quarterback for $30 million a year.
I'm saying I don't think that's what the value is for Brock.
And you're talking about
not
this
that
year.
Quarterback.
I got you to a conference finals and a Super Bowl.
So Trevor Lawrence is that quarterback for 53?
They made a mistake with Jacksonville. So did Dallas. But like,
well, you gonna make a mistake with me then?
Like Brock, yeah. I think is like that's where he is. He's that kind of quarterback. Like Trevor can be the end of that list or whatever, but that's the same tier.
It's very cute how you're trying to be rational with all this. That's not how this works.
But even then, that's 55. I'm disregarding Dak. I'm disregarding making more than Joe.
Well, then,
like, you got to give me 55.
Well, then Dame is just right. Then the Niners don't know what they're doing in negotiations. Then if that's the case.
The bare minimum number, bare minimum is 55. The fact that you're starting $10 million below that is insane to me. It's to me, that is not even a good faith starting point in a conversation.
What they're doing, in my opinion, is trying to take advantage of the fact that he was the last pick in the draft. And he hasn't made money. So there is a world where it's like, bro,
we don't have to sign you.
Yeah. Well, even that, and on the, like, and maybe we'll get to this a little later. It's the last pick in the draft. I was making less than part-timers at Odyssey.
Mm-hmm.
Turn down $45 million a year. Like, there's a thought to that. Your agent will get in there and be like, yes, you are. Mm-hmm. We're going to get you this. Like, bro, I'm go from $600,000 to $45 million in 2 years. Like, anything could happen next year. The Niners may be playing on. Let me just secure this bag right now.
And here's what I do as Brock Purdy's agent. Here's your history of how that works. You did it with Brandon Ayuk. Tell me how he's doing. You did it with Deebo Samuel. How's that going? You did it with Trent Williams. How did last year work out for you? Do you really want your starting quarterback in that same category?
I have no defense for the 49ers, so I can't even role play in that one. Because I would have.
Then like, I win.
It's,
win, win. Win for me.
It's indefensible. It's indefensible. Like I said, when I'm looking at the three right there, Jordan, Trevor, and Tua.
That's it.
If we're not even starting at their level,
Tua's the killer.
Well, Tua, they didn't make they didn't make Tua the highest paid quarterback. They just paid
they're not
him.
Asking for not, Brock to be
that's
the,
not
the
what
highest.
I
need more, or at least what they got, or more. Those three should not be making more money than.
I think we're overrating Brock a little bit. He's the same. He's
accomplishments
the same quarterback.
Accomplishments alone. They haven't done nearly half of what he's done.
Even if he's the same quarterback, the contracts years later, it still has to be at that or above that.
I see this as you start 45, you get to 53, and we're done with it. That's how I see this.
Starting at 45 is ridiculous.
To be honest with you, man. If we talk about Trevor Lawrence, that's the clear one. Jordan Love has no business making more money.
If it was 45 and you're thinking, Brock's thinking 58, that's crazy. But I'm thinking the Niners off from 45 with the thought, we'll finish at 53. Because 55 or 45 to get into 58, that's not happening.
You're
too far off.
That's me giving you a deal. Because to be honest with you, Trevor, all three of them guys got no business making more money than me. None. Like, period. I've accomplished more numbers-wise, wins-wise, than all three of them damn near combined. I don't care who I've been playing with.
But what did
they
you got do this
no,
season?
They got no business. What did they do this season? Nothing.
Well, Tua's not the highest paid guy, so we could throw him out.
I need to be making
either.
More than him.
Jordan Love did make the playoffs.
I need to be making more than him. And Jordan did nothing when he got there.
But he got to the playoffs.
He did nothing when he got there. I beat his ass last year.
I've gone to a Super Bowl. Like, we talked about Brock at one point. Like, he was
as talented as
Josh Allen. Like, he's a good quarterback.
We're not disputing that. We're talking about what these Stroud people have.
I know, CJ Stroud will reset the market next. That's the kind of quarterback that does that, not Brock Purdy. Purdy is Tua. You get a deal.
I'm not asking to reset the market. I'm talking to these three players, and there's no way they should be making more money than me. You can have Burrow. You can have Dak. You can have what CJ's going to make or whatever. Those three? Hell no.
We're arguing the same thing. I keep saying, yeah, pay them 53, 54. Like, that's what they're getting.
I may ask for 57.
Well, then, yeah.
Like, if I take 53, I'm being nice. I'm being nice to you.
I just
because there's no way those three should be
my guarantee higher.
Yeah, there's no way those three should be making more than me.
My guarantee needs to be higher. My first, the most important component to all of this is the signing bonus. Because the signing bonus he can get today.
You think if Brock hits the open market, he's getting 55?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, I disagree on that one too, though.
Yeah, I think he is because he's a starting quarterback. He's shown he can be a starting quarterback in the league. What are you going to do? Gardner Minshew. Wait, you don't think the Raiders would pay him $55 million? The Raiders might pay Justin Fields $40 million.
You draft a quarterback.
Well, that's a choice. That's, I guess if you're in the Raiders position, you could do that.
That's also a little irrelevant because none of those three on the open market are getting 55 and they got it. So
yeah, I think you hate Jordan Love and you're probably wrong on that.
Jordan Love might because people irrationally love him for whatever reason, but like because he's a good quarterback.
What Brock Purdy is. Purdy's a good quarterback.
Like Brock and Jordan Love, should they be making as much as Joe Burrow? No.
Nope.
Not at all, but that's what they are. I think Dak Prescott, Joe should be making more money than Dak Prescott. You better
fine with that.
I am. But Dak is at 60, and I ain't even talking about resetting. I'm looking at, I'm looking at those three, and you, like how we start this negotiation is 53. We may end up there. I may ask for higher. I don't know. But don't come to me unless we're talking 53.
See, I think that's fair value for him right there. Like 53, 54, but I don't think anything more. I think anything more is too much.
Starting at 45 is insane. And that's just 49ers playing games that
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Have gotten their ass in a... Their games got them out of the playoffs.
Well, what if they do land at like 50 or something and ends up taking that deal? They were right, no?
Oh, then Brock's agent should be fired.
I don't know if he should be fired.
He should absolutely be fired.
If Brock walks away with 50 to 53, I think we misjudged this.
No. Absolutely not. The numbers are right in front of us. Mm-hmm. Those are the numbers. They're already set.
If that was the case, though,
This isn't rocket science.
If that was the case, though, you pay two at 55, 56. They're similar numbers. He did it. He got 53. Brock is not a quarterback that good to pay him more than Joe Burrow. He's going to get 53.
Tua shouldn't even be in Joe Burrow's conversation.
He's not. He's less.
That's just,
no, he's in the conversation.
So that's the problem.
He's in the 50s, and he shouldn't be.
Well, that's the problem with those two contracts.
Tua and Trevor Lawrence have done nothing in their career to think they should be making $50 million a year.
Well, I ain't going to be able to get my stuff off this break, so go to commercial.
D'Lo and KC, ESPN 1320. I mean, look, like the way we left off last time, I guess Dame doesn't even need to be here right now. It's me and you going back and forth about Brock. I think...
We angered Dame. He's pissed off now.
I think this applies. Like, in a vacuum, I understand what the value is, or if that's the Niners' argument, what it should be. I get it. But...
Right now, I'm on the side. I think we're overvaluing Brock a bit. I don't think the rest of the league views him that way. And I think the Niners, if the $45 million offer is true, then I think that kind of shows what the rest of the league kind of views him. Because you don't go from $45 million and end up at like 60 or 58. I don't think that's a massive number.
Well, to be fair, though, they were wrong about Brandon Ayuk, weren't they?
Well, he tore his ACL.
No, I'm like, talking about like what they thought his value was. Like, they tried to come in low, like, this is what your value should be. And...
Eventually, they got to a number, though, where, like Ayuk said, like, yeah, I was tripping. I should have took the deal like they were offering, no?
Yeah, but they weren't starting at that number.
But that's just negotiations. You never start at the number. Mm. Like, you start at the lowest or whatever, and then you work your way up, I feel.
He should end up getting about 50. 50, like, 50 I don't think would be a crime. I think it wouldn't be right because he's better than those three quarterbacks. But 50 is where he should be. And maybe the height of it should be 57. 50s. Sorry to Joe Burrow.
50's way too low.
It's not fair to Joe Burrow that he's lumped in with these other quarterbacks.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's what it is. Like, 50 to 57. Honestly, if I was being, like, really, like, 53 is the lowest, if I was the people. 53 to 57.
We're talking all these numbers. Let's get Will in here with his black background.
It's green.
Is it green?
It does look black, though. It hold is. On, it's like on. A if really I, dark green.
He's looking like a Death Row poster.
He do look like the Death Row poster. There it is. Got a little, okay. Yeah, nope. Still looks black, Will. Sorry. Can't.
Yeah. That's all good. We're going for like a cabin feel.
There you go. All right. I'm digging it. No Malik Monk. Go ahead. Sorry, Will.
Oh, I was going to say, I gave Jesse eggs, I think, at the first Sky River event.
Yeah.
I need those back.
Yep. Hey, I cooked those like that night, Will. I'm sorry. No salt on those either.
It hurts me. It hurts.
Will's taking his. I remember that. I remember when Will gave us eggs. That was terrific. Bet you wish you still had those, huh, boy? You could be selling them joints like crazy right now.
Yeah, backyard chickens is the way to go.
Well, if we could get Kenny to open up his compound a little bit, we could just raise our own chickens.
I'm saying
Will could teach us.
We'll buy like 5 chickens, and Will teach us how to like just get eggs from the
chickens. It's honestly not hard. Like they're pretty easy animals to care for.
You just have to have the space for them because you know they're chickens. Will, lots to talk about here tonight as the Kings look for their 5th straight win. But they're going to have to do it without Malik Monk. Malik Monk ruled out for tonight's game. What was it, a right toe sprain? Mm-hmm. I think is what it was. Will, what do you think of this? I'm assuming Keon Ellis is in the starting lineup along with Jonas Valanciunas, who will be in for Domantas Sabonis. What do you think about Malik being out here, and what do the numbers look like for some of this stuff?
Yeah, I really like. Obviously, it's never great when 2 starters are out, but to look at matchups for all the games for Monk to be out and have Keon presumably be the one to take the starting spot, like it really works out that it's against the Nuggets and Jamal Murray, mm-hmm. compared to like if. Pick a team who doesn't have like a point guard as one of their main top 2 players. Like the Nuggets, it's Jokic and then Murray. So the matchup works well that you're kind of going out there without Sabonis and Monk, and you're bringing in 2 defensive-minded players, which pairs really well with this Nuggets matchup, I think, in terms of especially Murray. He's been playing so good lately. In his last, pulling it up now, last 9 games for Jamal, like 27 points. Where is it? 27.6 points, 5.6 assists, 53.4% from the field, 55.6% from 3. That's over a 9-game stretch. Mm. Like he is just on it. So to have Keon get that assignment from the jump, I assume, I think works out pretty well. And we'll see. I think it'll be interesting to see how they do offensively without both of them. But in terms of the overall matchup, I think it's still fine for the Kings, especially with the Nuggets going through some questionable players and a shorter roster than we've seen in the years past.
Do you do we have any numbers? It's kind of tough now because Sabonis is out. But I remember there was numbers floating around where the best net rating of any lineup was the one with Malik not in there. It was Keon instead of Malik. And I think Sabonis is in there, so it's not necessarily what might apply right now. But do you think, you talked about the defensive end, do you think offensively things might fit a little bit better with Keon out there as opposed to Malik or something like that, and they can actually either hold their own offensively or even improve in some respects?
I think they should at least be able to hold their own. I don't know if they'll improve, but that's where Keon being a knockdown shooter really helps. I think you really lose the creation from Monk. Like Keon can't replace that in terms of the pick and roll, but you just key in on LaVine and DeRozan will probably get a little more ball handling and run the offense through them more. Maybe see a lot of pick and roll with Valanciunas and having Keon be able to spread the floor. Because Keon is a much better shooter than Monk. So he kind of fits that off-ball role, I think, a little bit better. So it's just shifting responsibilities. Mm-hmm. And I think LaVine and DeRozan are definitely capable of handling that for at least a few games here and there.
What stood out to you the most over this win streak? Obviously, you know, there's going to be another kind of wrinkle thrown in this with Malik out tonight, but there was a wrinkle thrown in this win streak with Domantas Sabonis being out, as he was for the most part out 2 games. What has stood out to you the most during this 4-game run here for Doug Christie and this crew?
Yeah, I think for me, it's how they're really taking this balanced approach that we've seen over the last few games. We had the 42, right, for LaVine, mm-hmm. but since then it's been, I don't think anyone scored 30. I could be wrong on that, but they've had like a bunch of people in double figures. a bunch of people in the 20 plus range. They're just kind of doing it with the whole team, which feels exactly like what Doug Christie is asking them to do. And to go to numbers for that, just the assists, I think, are so important for this team. The combo recently of the assists continuing to go up and the turnovers going down, I think, comes with them spending more time together. But that whole just approach, I think, is starting to come together from the top down, from Doug to the starters to the bench. Like, everyone is just doing whatever it takes to win. And I think you're starting to see that on the court more. And I love seeing that. Like, it's a very sustainable way to win compared to hoping someone gets hot and scores 40 plus on any given night.
Keegan Murray had 26 against Utah. That has been the highest point total since Zach LaVine scored 42.
And I know I texted you last night, Damien. I was going to try and write an article on Keegan. Didn't get to it. It's been a busy day. But that's the other thing. Keegan, just when he is scoring and shooting, like, he takes the Kings to a whole nother level. I have some numbers. I was starting my research for the article. Over the last handful of games, where did it go? 13 games, shooting 41% from three. Like, that's a solid stretch as well. And pretty high volume as well. That's on 6 per game. So we're seeing Keegan kind of get back to that shooter, where when he is doing everything that we've seen all season, the defense, the rebounding, he's now adding on that three-point shot. And the Kings don't need it to win, as we've seen throughout the season up to this point. But when he does score and when he does make a shot, he raises the bar to, I think, a just completely different level for the team.
Is there?
No,
my fault. I was just going to ask you: is there something specifically you're seeing in a change in the way he approaches the game, or, you know, his shot selection or anything else like that? Or is it just simply him hitting those wide open looks that he was getting and maybe getting him jump started that way?
I think it's just him getting the looks, like hitting the looks. But I want to look up, I'll pull it up real quick, see what he's doing on his wide open looks, kind of before and after that game. So bear with me while I take a look at this.
Because he's been cooking, like he's getting those. He's getting those looks, and earlier in the season, obviously they weren't going down, and it was a little bit of an issue. But he's picked it up in a major way in recent weeks, and you can see it just adds a whole another dynamic to the Kings, and it adds a whole another. It almost feels like confidence as well, level of confidence for his game.
And it's not just the three-point shooting, like. That's what stands out, I think, because it's most prominent. But he's continuing to do all the little things on offense. He's finishing at like a 75% clip at the rim over the last 12 games, I think it was, something around there. He's getting a lot more dunks. Like, he's just, his game, it feels like it's fully come together for the first time this year, that we've seen everything leading up to him as a player. Year one, we saw the shooter. Year two, we saw the self-creation, the driving, but the shooting kind of fell off. This year, we saw the defense and the rebounding, but the shooting fell off and the self-creation was a little up and down. And it feels like this is the first 10-game stretch where we're seeing everything come together and everything he's shown up to now at the same time.
Will, what do you think about Valanciunas stepping in here with Domas out of the lineup, how he's done in the couple of games where he's played the prominent role, and how things might be a little bit different for Sacramento? And maybe, if I don't know if you've had a chance, how things might be different for Jokic and the Nuggets tonight?
Yeah, I think he's been great. Like, it's hard to ask for a better backup center than him, especially when he fits the Kings' style, and especially with them not doing as much dribble handoff lately, it seems like. Like, he is such a good screen setter. I think he had 6 screen assists for like 14 screen assist points last game. So those are typical. That's around what Sabonis will give you on any given night. He's able to replicate a lot of Sabonis's game just in different ways. And I think he's a better interior defender. I think Sabonis is better on the perimeter. But in terms of defense, it's pretty even in my mind, just watching. Hard to quantify that with numbers, but
yeah.
Sabonis, I think, can get out on the perimeter and guard better on switches. But when it comes to someone getting into the lane, I think Valanciunas gets the nod there. And super underrated on offense. And Kenny, I think you said it yesterday, he is not afraid to shoot. Like, he'll take that. If he's open, he'll go for it.
Yeah.
Which I like.
I love it, too.
Go impact the game in whatever way possible.
Yeah, I love it, too, man. You gotta at least be a threat.
Low-key called Domas a little bitch for not shooting. Man.
You got to put him up, man. You got to be a threat.
I asked Domas to shoot two more times a game, and I'm turning heel on everybody. Will and KC talking about, oh, look it, Valanciunas ain't a little bitch out here. He's shooting two-pointers. Okay, no, I see I got to change my approach.
Shoot the rock, though, man. Shoot the rock, baby.
When Sabonis is there, though, like, he has the ability to pass out of that instead of take the shot. I don't think Valanciunas has the ability to pass. His career assist high is like 2.6. So I think it's just different skill sets where Sabonis, I think it feels like in his mind he can impact the certain play or the possession better by passing than shooting, which sometimes probably isn't true. He should shoot more, but that's just where his instincts go.
And a lot of times it is, but in his head, he probably thinks about, you know, high percentage shots versus low percentage shots. And he starts looking around the floor going, that's a higher percentage shot. I'm in a position for a lower percentage shot. And it winds up with him constantly taking the same amount of field goal attempts per game.
Yeah.
Will, in your opinion, what has contributed to the crazy play from LaVine, DeRozan, and I'll even throw Keegan Murray in there. You know, you see their numbers in the last 5-6 games, and it's crazy, man. Like 23 points per game, 50% from the field, 40-something percent from beyond the arc. I mean, they've been on fire. Is it simply is those guys just kind of getting used to things, or do you think there's something that has changed with the Kings offense and maybe where the ball ends up and how they get different open looks?
I think they just look so relaxed, like, and confident, especially LaVine. Like, comparing it to his first game, he looked so stiff. He was running into guys, but now they LaVine makes it look so easy, especially DeMar. And like, DeRozan is impressive because he's a tough shot maker, but they still look kind of tough. Like, you're like, oh, that's a tough shot, but then he makes it. And it's the same as LaVine, but he has this ease to his game that just has stood out to me. And it seems like as he's gotten more comfortable, it's just taken off. And his confidence to take a contested pull-up three and drain it, like, he's hitting in the last few games, like, his tightly contested shots, his open shots, their wide open shots, they're all 66% from beyond the arc. Like, it doesn't matter where the defender is, he's making it. And just his confidence to go out and do that. And I think it all stems from Christie, like, from Doug. It feels like he just has this way of lifting people up. Like, you guys know him a little better and have talked to him more. Like, that's just the vibe I get from afar, where he just lifts up people and just instills confidence. And that's kind of what stood out to me, Kenny, for eye tests, just feel, no numbers, just vibes.
I feel like we say that a lot, that Doug kind of knows how to talk to these guys, knows how to talk to people. I don't want this to get lost on anyone. Doug's a teacher. Mm. Like, Doug's not a teacher in the same way that Mike Brown is, but Doug is very much a teacher. Like, he knows this game. He's studied this game. He wants nothing more than to coach this game. Like, he is living his dream right now, coaching professional basketball. He is a teacher, and sometimes I think the teachers that we all remember the most are the ones who found a more unique way to get through to you. And I think that's what Doug is. Doug has found a different way to get through to these guys when it comes to teaching. And you're not teaching, I don't even think you're teaching X's and O's at this point. You're just teaching nuances. You're teaching approaches and letting guys find what works for them. And I think that's what we've seen, you know, post-Warriors game is, you know, be yourselves, but work with each other.
Mm-hmm.
I mean that's a Doug Christie line. What would they go, going back to the 7-game win streak to start? You know, be free. His exact line was be free, but be there for each other. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that they might have lost, you know, when LaVine got here and when Laravia got here. They didn't know how to do that. And ever since that meeting after the Golden State Warriors game, they seem to.
And it's a whole new group of guys, too, you know, that need to hear that message. Mm-hmm. And they're dealing with different pressures and all this from being traded and getting to a new group of guys. So he may have had to refresh that message, you know, to those guys. And if that's something that happened, man, they're buying in, man. They look great. They look great.
And you see it. I think numbers-wise, it probably stands out most in the assists. Because if you look at the first few games, Minnesota was the first game with... No, Orlando, first game with LaVine,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
23 assists, then 21, then 24. So kind of a learning curve. And then you've got 28, 28, 38, 26, 30, 28, 21 in the win against Houston, and 34. So it's consistently around, to me, the magic number is 28. Their record when they have at least 28 assists is phenomenal. And
you spotted just something
constantly.
Sorry, Will, you spotted something interesting about that 34 assist game.
Yeah, that was kind of a fun one. So 34 assists, 7 turnovers. That's the fourth time the Kings have done that in franchise history. The two of the other three times, Doug was a player, which I thought was just kind of a fun little fun stat.
That's pretty awesome.
It's been, yeah.
That's pretty
so
awesome.
So just to see that same feel, that's what made the Kings of the early 2000s so fun, mm-hmm. was that style of basketball, and it feels like they're trying to emulate that. And like it obviously works. Like the numbers show it. When they get those high assists, they win. Like that's pretty much seen throughout the league because assists go with shot making. Yeah. But for this team, that's probably what I'll look at going into every single night. What I'll be looking at is the assists and the turnovers.
Great stuff, Will. Great stuff as always. We're following you on Twitter. We're locked into you tonight. And got all your great work over there at SI, man. We appreciate you.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate
National
it.
National media.
Jesse, salt your eggs.
Will Z.
Yeah, salt your eggs, Jesse.
Pepper, too. Yeah.
Thanks, Will.
Never in my life will I put poison on my eggs.
That's Death Row Will right there. It's on the internet.
Death Row.
It's on the internet. There is a, you know, talk very nice about him here a handful of hours before tip-off, but I don't know what Denver is. You know, I'm not going to penalize them for beating bad teams and beating a bunch of them in a row. Like, that was the schedule. I don't think they're a bad basketball team. Far from it. I think the only discussion about Denver is, are they a championship team or aren't they? And I think you'll find opinions on that split. Okay. My thing is, if they're not, and you get a relatively early playoff exit, is this a team that's in line to make a big move this offseason?
Well, James laid it out earlier on the on the handoff,
mm-hmm.
their money situation is crazy.
Bad or good?
Like, it depends on how you look at it, but it's locked up with high money.
Yeah.
Jokic is making like $50 million. Murray's in line to start making $50 million. Michael Porter Jr. is like 35.
Oh, that's the one I got my eye on.
Aaron Gordon is like 30, mid-30s. That's four guys.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They hadn't added to the team. They hadn't done anything. So, like, the point was, and it goes kind of to your question, too, if this isn't a championship team, how are you going to move off of? Who are you going to move off of on that roster
mm-hmm.
to improve the team or kind of give it a different look, get out of the second apron, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. how are you going to do that? And obviously, Porter, Michael Porter Jr. is one guy that you know, you would probably the first guy you would look at to do something like that. But
hey, Dallas, what do you like Anthony Davis still? Or if I'm Denver, I'm calling for Anthony Davis.
I was thinking of somebody else.
The guy in Phoenix?
Yeah.
I thought about that too.
Yeah.
I feel like you could probably get AD for cheaper. Mm. We talked about it a little earlier, I guess.
So, yeah. So my question, why would those other teams take those players?
Well, they're not bad. Like, we're talking about Michael Porter Jr.
Yeah, and they're not bad.
You
but
get
like,
two years of MPJ, see what you get there. And that's just money. Yeah,
so Dallas, I don't know. I don't know what Dallas
does. I feel like
does.
I could get more than Michael Porter Jr. for AD.
Yeah, I don't think that's all that you give up for him either. I don't know what type of... You think you could get a better player than Michael Porter Jr. for Kevin Durant? Can you give me an example? Well, Anthony Davis. You might be able to land Anthony Davis.
If I'm trading AD...
No, KD.
Oh, Kevin Durant?
You could do either, I guess, because we're talking both.
Either one of them. Like, they'll start with Kevin Durant. If I'm trading Kevin Durant, man, I feel like I'm throwing out a play. I'm feeling I could get a Brandon Ingram. Who isn't like KD level, but he's better than Michael Porter Jr. He's a guy that you can rely on. I can get a Trae Young for a Kevin Durant.
Really?
I'm that level play. Now, people don't look at Trae Young as that great of a player.
Okay. I mean, Trae's still in his 20s. I know you're saying a player, like you're talking about a 20-year-old scorer who can go for 28, 30 every night?
If you still feel Kevin Durant can win you a championship or like be a main contributor to that, I think I would do that too. I mean, if you're Atlanta, though, the circumstances like...
You would trade Trae Young for Kevin Durant.
I don't know if I would
He
do
said
it,
a Trae Young-like player.
I could understand it, just given what Kevin Durant brings to your team.
So you really don't like Michael Porter Jr. at all?
No, I just don't think he's like...
KD 36.
Michael Porter Jr. has never sniffed an all-star game. And we're talking about trading two of the greatest for Michael. That's your return?
Yeah, I mean, your return on... I mean, it's not a one-for-one swap. But Anthony Davis is... Well, what's your line? What's your word? Not moles. Is it moles?
Warts.
Warts. You got warts.
I got warts and moles.
Warts and moles.
Disgusting players.
AD got both of them. AD, you know, can the guy get on the floor for you? You're taking a risk if you're Denver. Mm-hmm. KD is 36 years old, going on 37. There is a bit of a risk there. As great as Kevin Durant is, there still is a bit of a risk there.
And understandable. And both
you're not trading guys, for a 26-year-old.
Both of you guys went somewhere where I wasn't going, because if I'm in the Western Conference, I'm not trading with Denver. You figure that out. You got all those guys making money. Your second apron. I'm not sure. You better look to the Eastern Conference.
The next time that works in the league, the Kenny Caraway strategy
will
be the first.
Yeah, you're the only GM. Okay, see, you keep all your picks. I'm not going to trade with you. Yes, then there's the rivals. Yeah. Like, you can only trade with five teams.
You would be
point.
The worst general manager. You'd be the Nico Harrison.
That's what they should do. Why should Phoenix trade with Denver?
Because they Denver? Because they could get an extra draft pick or draft picks out of it. That's why.
Now, I mean, to help so them be an NBA title contender?
Well, to help yourself get, like, what are you going to do?
I'm going to first talk to these Eastern Conference teams.
Well, they're not interested because New York has made their play.
You could have Derek White.
There might be one. There might be one in the Eastern
that's
Conference.
What I'm saying.
Jesse going to have a KD jersey
talking
next
to them
year.
First. Hey, talking to the Eastern Conference. What's Orlando talking about?
They keep telling me you got to move Jaylen Brown, so.
I don't know. Orlando's probably just talking loud.
Move France. Paolo and KD were working out one of these summers. KD was giving them all his tricks.
Well, then you don't need KD if Paolo already got all his tricks.
Well, he's still the master.
Oh, we got to go to commercial. James Hamm joins us. The turncoat, James Hamm. Joins us at the top of the hour. We'll get to the bottom of this little documentary he put together. Find out why all this Laker paraphernalia was all over it. Stilo and Casey on ESPN 1320. Known Disney hater, Jesse Tapia.
I'm not a Disney hater.
And a disrespect runs rampant.
I'm not a Disney hater.
Have you seen Moana 2?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you have? Did you like it?
It was cool. It wasn't as good as the first one, but.
Well, I think that's what most of the chat was saying.
Yeah, it was
Jesse hates them both. He's never seen the second one. He just hates the first one enough to not see the second one.
You hadn't seen the second one?
Why would I watch the second one if I didn't like the first?
I mean, he does have a point. He does have a point. I'm
the first one is a classic.
Yeah, the first one is fantastic.
It's a classic.
It's not Soul.
This isn't the best day for Jesse's takes.
You're right. It's not Soul. Soul is fantastic.
No, it's not Soul.
But Moana is very good.
Coco is better, even though that one tarts.
I mean, we're talking about like one of the greats of all time.
Sorry.
Moana, one of the greats?
Standards. No, Coco.
Oh, Coco.
Coco's.
Matt Fisher says I have good taste. Like, see, I got someone on my side today.
Did.
No, I wouldn't listen to Matt.
Well, Matt looked like he's on a bender right now. Like, like Matt. Matt, do you salt your eggs, Matt? Come on, man. So you got, like you say, goated. Moana, top five Disney movie of all time?
It's tough because, you know, it's
oh,
like,
you said Coco was goated, yeah, not Moana.
It's
my
like,
bad,
it's
my
like,
bad, my bad.
It's like boxing eras, right? Like, it's just a different era of.
Like, Lion King is Disney, correct?
Yeah. But it's just,
Moana's
it's a
not
different.
Lion King.
No, Lion King, that's probably one for me.
Well, I've got three that I just named, Soul, Coco, and Lion King.
I don't know if I've seen Coco.
Coco's fantastic.
Well, the way Jesse says, I don't want to watch it.
No, seriously.
Nah,
Crystal will throw it on back. I'm going to go to the other room.
Yeah, Coco hella sad.
Yeah, I ain't doing that.
Well, it'll
be nice because you'll remember some good people.
It's
but
as sad
hurt.
As Soul. Soul wasn't like.
Soul wasn't
no,
sad.
No, Soul was
Soul
not sad.
Soul
was, Soul
was uplifting.
Fun. I watched Soul multiple times.
Well, no, because, it got a little.
No,
crazy.
It got tough. It was in the end. It was uplifting.
But Coco was kind of the same way.
Coco, I'm watching Coco. Like, why am I? I'm thinking of my grandma right now.
Well, that's.
Is that why you named your dog Coco?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, went with that.
Coco, grandma. But like I said, like we'll talk about like Aladdin is an unbelievable movie.
Okay.
Aladdin is fantastic.
Okay.
Even but it's for that time, right? Even in that time, like Beauty and the Beast was a great movie.
That one's kind of overrated too.
Frozen is fantastic.
Frozen's very good. Inside Out is very good.
Inside Out.
That's the emotions one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Inside Out very
I think
good.
Elemental is great.
Elemental was really good.
So
Elemental was one of my favorite ones too, actually. That was a good one.
I think with the Disney movies, you gotta go new era, old era. And Coco is top five in the new era.
Okay.
Coco top five. But I think Moana's top five too.
So Matt Fisher, get back in here. You hate Moana too?
Yeah, Matt Fisher tripping. Oh, shout out Rachel. I wasn't sure if this is Disney top five. Zootopia's top five.
Yeah,
Zootopia's
that one was solid.
Fantastic.
Oh, I don't.
You watch Zootopia, you like it.
Yeah, you'll like it. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, you have? Or?
No, I was going to say, I don't think I have.
Damn, and I didn't even realize Big Hero was, that was
Big Hero's
too.
Fun, yeah. I like Big Hero.
I'm confident saying Zootopia is in the top five.
If you watch WALL-E, that's kind of like, that'll scare you for the future.
Yeah. Well, WALL-E right into Paradise, man. What's the Paradise, right? That's
yeah,
the show?
Yeah,
yeah. Let's get, it's Wednesday. Let's get Manny in here. 916-909-1320. What's up, Manny?
Oh, shoot, it is Wednesday. Wow. I was actually just going to say how much I love Coco, but seeing that it's Wednesday... Tonight, Chatty House After Party, 8 p.m., fellas. We're going to talk about the Kings, about the little rash of injuries, see where they're going forward. And we're also, because we got to talk Elimination Chamber, we're going to talk about whether Nico Harrison had anything to do with John Cena turning heel. So all that tonight.
Can we get a new spokesperson for the Chatty House After Party?
That's the strongest commercial.
What, like,
there's a five-second pause.
Like, what, like...
Manny, I
didn't even get the feeling you wanted to listen to the show tonight, Manny.
Manny's already running out of gas.
Can Trina call or Dr. David?
Well, I ain't gonna say, I was about to say something, but I ain't trying to start.
Say it.
No.
Say it. Say it.
I ain't trying to start nothing.
Yes, we are.
They would make over Leezy. Leezy would be a good commercial guy.
Never mind.
See what I'm saying?
Man, Lizzie ain't even bother nobody. Lizzie actually work here and he can't get no.
See what I'm saying? Like, Lizzie be a great commercial guy. But I ain't even going to talk about what's going on. I don't even know what's really going on, to be honest with you. Call me Marvin.
Manny sounded like his alarm went off and he was like, oh, well, Manny, gotta call this show today and do Manny, my promo.
Manny does a lot. That's what I'm saying. Like, if he could delegate, I don't know. But if Manny would run the operation, then boom, Lizzy in charge of the commercials.
Well,
boom.
I think Tasha runs a lot of the social media stuff.
See, that's where she's delegating too. See, just they need that one more person to be able to delegate. And I think Lizzy be good for the commercials.
Lizzy said no.
All right, man.
Lizzy said, I'm not getting into that again. All right, man. We got the black and white faction and the wolf pack over here in the chatty house. We've been around so long, we've broken the chatty house up into two factions. The chatty house has jumped the shark. We've turned into the NWO. Man.
We got to make shirts. Chatty house, wolf pack. Chatty house, which one are you?
Is Lizzie the wolf pack or is he the black and white?
I think he's wolf pack.
Lizzie's the wolf pack. Okay.
It feels like it fits him a little
bit. So Manny is he's the black and white.
Yeah. Although Manny
that was
could
tough because
Manny could be Conan. So
yeah,
maybe
he could be Conan.
Yeah.
Conan was in the it's either Conan or Virgil, right? Like that's who were in the two factions, yeah. Conan and Virgil, and like you got Stevie Ray over here. Who's Stevie Ray? You ask. Well, he's Booker T's brother.
Shout out Stevie Ray, big ups to him. Harlem Heat. Come on now. Don't forget Disco Inferno was in there too, wasn't he?
Disco Inferno was in the NWO.
I think he ended up being in black and white. Yeah.
That's rough. That's rough. Disco Inferno, Virgil, and I'm pretty sure the guy who played IRS was also in the black and white. All right.
Oh, that reminds me, before James gets here and we got to get serious, I don't know how true this is, man. Streets are telling me. You guys tell me. Is J-Lo dating the Big Show?
You Jeez. Can't possibly be serious.
Come no, on, I don't bro. Know. This would
Jennifer Lopez?
Ace sent me this, so I don't know. I was like, wait, bro, what? And then I just didn't really like follow up to look into
so
it.
So you just decided to bring it to the radio show?
No, I asked a question.
Live on the radio. This
I,
is
I asked a question. There's, you guys might know. You guys know what the Big Show's doing. I don't know.
Why the hell would I know what the Big Show is doing?
Because you know all things wrestling.
Casey, just say to yourself, why would J-Lo date the Big Show?
I don't know. He sent me some pictures. I was like, bruh.
Jennifer okay, with Paul White.
Okay, wait a minute.
Don't tell me there's some truth to this.
Okay, first of all, this is like 4 years ago.
Oh, there's that a can't picture. Be true.
So, no, there's a picture of Big Show hugging Jennifer Lopez.
Mm.
That's it.
Well, blame this one on Ace. I just asked the question.
You and Ace.
You asked it in a public forum.
Well, okay, content, COE. But I don't. I didn't say I knew. I didn't report it. I just said, hey.
Okay, wait a minute. It's, oh, boy. Okay, so no, it's the same picture that just keeps coming back. There appears to be one picture in existence of Big Show and
with her, like, in workout gear. And
yes, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And the caption says, I'm so confused. Apparently Big Show dated Jennifer Lopez for a week. There's literally just a picture of them.
That sounds like Drewski and
Ruby
Rose. I
think Big Show's been married for like ever.
Mm.
I could be wrong. I mean, I don't know. And who was J-Lo married to back then? Because she was probably married. What's his name? Paul White?
Yeah. Wow.
I can't believe
once
when
again,
he
blame,
debuted.
Blame,
who's that?
Blame
that's Paul White. That's Paul. What? What are you talking about? That's the Giant.
That's
what do you mean
Paul
that's Paul White?
That's
what are you talking Paul about? White. That man's been married since 2002.
Oh, see? They got to stop doing that.
Good for Big Show.
Good for Big Show. And hopefully J-Lo finds
it. Also good for Big Show because he was married in 1997. Divorced in 2002, and apparently got remarried in 2002.
Oh.
I get it. When you find the one, you just marry him.
Time. He wasn't trying to be out on the market for any time.
Nothing wrong with that. Just keep it moving. Mm-hmm. That's Paul White. That's Paul White. Like, oh, my God.
That's Paul White. They should be embarrassed.
Man. Like, remember that? You know, remember, do you remember what they first called him? For like a second.
No.
The Big Nasty.
That's what we should call Valanciunas.
You had him as Nasty Boy.
Yeah, Nasty Boy. JV, the Nasty Boy.
You're coming out to Vanity 6?
He could just come out to Nasty Boy. I mean,
Biggie.
Well, yeah. That's what I was thinking. At first I was thinking of the Vanity 6 song, but then I was thinking of Janet saying
Nasty. Yeah.
That's what I was thinking of.
All right.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.